You're listening to Out of Bounds with Dota. Lose your eye.
Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. Is this thing on? Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I don't know if I'm on yet.
Good morning, baby.
Welcome to another edition of Out of Bounds. We are here again on a Saturday morning getting things rolling here. Guys, I'm having a tough time giving up on something as a man. I'm having an issue. It's not my prostate, I promise. You know, I told you guys about my lawn a couple weeks ago. I thought it was my lawnmower, yep. My LeBron James. It wasn't the lawnmower. I've since fixed that. I've moved on from the lawnmower. I'm working on the lawn. I've signed up for a lawn service.
Oh, man.
Oof.
Wasted that money. Now you got to go. You probably had a disease or something.
Yeah, so the guy, the experts who treat the lawn came out and said there was a fungus in the lawn and cutting it and spread it all over the place. I'm okay with that part. I'm having a tough time letting go. Like, I enjoy mowing the lawn. And now I kind of get it why my dad was never happy with the way I did
it. You gave up, dude.
I did.
You gave up too fast. You got to learn it. You got to experience it. And you got to get the fertilization process.
Well, it's not even that. That's not the part I've given up on, because that I'm okay with that, because I'll let the experts do what they do. But the actual mowing of the lawn is like
you don't enjoy it?
No, I do enjoy that part, but I've signed up for a lawn service.
You mean to cut your grass?
Yeah, I'm giving up the
control. I thought you meant to fertilize it.
Oh, no. Cutting it now. It's like... You know,
you don't have any time anymore, Mr. Emmy Award-winning producer. I mean, you're all about town. Everybody knows who you are. You're big time now, though. Congratulations to that.
Thank you.
Who's got time to cut grass?
Yeah, right? I know. I got to sit here and shine my trophy.
Not like me, the little guy over here. He's got to cut, plant flowers, do the mulch, trim the bushes, everything, dude.
Congrats, though.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well deserved.
Huge honor to be mentioned along with all the names, the great broadcasters in the state of Michigan. Just a fun night too, just kind of being there. The production of it all is just like you see on TV. You know, it's black tie affair. Everybody's dressed to the nines. Good food, good drink. Just kind of cool.
Seems like a fun night, man.
It was.
Did you hold like the Emmy as you went and got drinks too?
Walking
around with it.
The funny thing is,
you gotta be great, Dota. Be great. You gotta tell everybody.
Did you feel like Leonardo DiCaprio when he won his first?
No, because it took him so long.
He won an Oscar, not an Emmy.
But you know, same thing, right?
Yeah, same thing.
My category was actually the second from last, so I had to wait all night long and watch everybody else go up there and get their awards, and then. Again, it goes by so fast. You get 30 seconds to make your speech, and then they start playing the music. So I was trying to get it all in 30 seconds before they play the music.
You didn't go after the music and started playing like they do?
No, I made it in. But it was fun. Thank you, guys. Posted some pictures on social media if you want to check out the trophy. Just a fun night. What used to be a fun night was the NBA draft.
Right.
I don't know that it's so much fun anymore with super teams and everything that's going on in the NBA right now, because it's so hard to get a projection on some of these guys. I don't like the production of it. You know, Wojnarowski's breaking news on Twitter before they actually make the picks, and I'm okay with that. It just kind of takes away from their whole.
Don't go to social media. Did not like
the trades before they cut, knowing that they're going what team they're going to.
Right.
And back, like they didn't even know that. Like even when Chris Webber got traded for with Penny Hardaway, they didn't know till after.
Yeah.
And it just builds a suspense. It was just too much, like you said, just too much of a production with the announcements and introductions with their parents. Half the parents are in wheelchairs, can't get down the steps. I mean, what's going on there, man?
Maybe
there's – I don't even see a superstar in this draft, even Aiden. They're going to be – a couple of them are going to be good players. I don't see any superstars. They're just not.
Yeah, not as it stands right now, definitely not. But I'm with you. The whole production, like – the red carpet entrance it was too much. Because where do you draw the line on that? Where do you draw the line on which guys? Because they haven't been drafted yet.
You shouldn't have that.
And you can't say, let's do the top 10
entrance. You shouldn't have that.
Cue
the Bulls theme, you know, music back in the day.
Yeah, that was good.
Come on, man. That's just ridiculous. The thing that I hated the most, or I hate the most, they've been doing this for a while, is these trades on the fly. The guy like Trae Young comes up wearing a Mavs hat. Why he's being interviewed, and then he's like, hey, by the way, you just got traded to the Hawks. And then Doncic too, wearing
it for
Atlanta
an awkward
hat.
Conversation with the interview.
It does. Well, it's totally awkward.
Well, and like Bridges, who got traded, right, you right. know, and like oh, his mom's was... like, oh my God, I'm so excited. He gets to stay home.
Yeah.
This, that, whatever. Yeah, and he's boom. Still taking questions in the back room about playing for the Sixers.
And
he's already been traded. He doesn't
even
know
And you don't think they already know, though, before they even sit down, they know their agents are telling them because they're already making this
right.
deal because nowadays the players have input if they want to go or not.
Well, they asked Doncic about that, and he said, yeah, I had already talked to the Mavs. The Mavs had been talking to me. And
Well, why are you wearing the Atlanta hat then?
Well, I mean, that's so that one was
that's
a little bit interesting.
So
that
stupid.
One, there
formality,
were
probably.
There were contingencies with right. that, so they had to make sure.
Did they
sure...
swap hats after the interview?
Maybe.
Oh, here you go.
I don't know about that.
I love the start of it, though, the first pick, before when he comes out. They got 5 minutes left to make their pick.
Right, just come right on
I'm
with
like,
it.
They've had 30 days, 60 days yeah. since they decided. Like, yeah. just you, the yeah. first pick. You start out, and welcome to the NBA right. draft, and with the first pick, boom.
Exactly.
Let's get it going, baby. Five more minutes, and then. Chauncey's having a hard time thinking of what the hell to say. He says, if he says, one more time, like, dude, like, they're just trying to figure it out. The host, I forgot the guy's name who was hosting it. He's going back and forth. I could just see it, you know, knowing from you what production, you know, more, I could see in their earpiece that they're, like, trying to buy time.
Well,
go to this clip. Go to that clip. Yeah. And then, like, oh, wait, he's coming out. Is he coming out? No, he's not coming out. Like, fuck, man. You know?
And I'll tell you, 5 minutes in TV time is a lot.
Oh, my God. 30 seconds is a lot.
Oh, it's a lot of time. So I'm with you. I know you guys don't play fantasy sports, but this is the equivalent of the guy who gets the number one draft pick and shows up at the draft and takes the full 2.5 minutes to make the selection. It's so annoying. It's like you have to know by now. Nothing's changed.
Yeah.
Especially the first pick.
First pick is what I'm talking about when he comes out. I'm not, in between shit happens. The people are making trades. I can see in the back room they're calling. They're making deals. But that first pick, I mean, you know who it's going to be already.
I know we were talking about, you know, what was going on. You told me to stay off social media, you know, because I was complaining about all that stuff breaking there first.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where it all breaks. Now, these guys are doing a TV production, but Wojnarowski, they would take him and put him on TV before the
Marco
the
wanted you to go Zero Dark 30, bro.
If you want to watch the
By
draft.
By the way, he's made his first post since Zero Dark 30.
Yeah.
We can talk about that a little bit later.
On Melrose Boulevard
in
Beverly
Hills?
In the gym,
of course, in the gym.
Ripping it up, trying to be great for the next 10 years?
He added the crown emoji over his
Hell yeah, baby. That's it. Man. Keep it up, man. Keep it up, LBJ. Keep it up, King.
But back to the draft. The Atlanta Hawks GM actually made a point to say he was paying attention. They now – it's very interesting. The draft strategy, they now are paying attention on social media and where the projections are because he was about to make a trade and then realized he didn't have to, so he nixed a trade and then got the guy he wanted anyways.
Right.
So – like these guys are paying attention. Kudos to them because that's. I mean, you're kind of lost
up.
If you don't.
They fucked that up. I don't like that. They fucked up. They lost. Luka. They should have kept him.
I think the same thing.
Who knows? Maybe somewhere in the background they kept it quiet and he decided I don't want to go to Atlanta. Maybe something like that happened.
I mean, I don't blame him.
And they said, you know what? If he's not going to be happy here, I'm taking Trae Young. Who knows? You know what I mean?
I guess. I just.
How do you pass on that guy?
That's what I don't. That's. And.
They're going to regret that. They're going to regret that. Of the whole draft, that one stood out to me. They're going to regret that move.
They're one of my losers for sure, Atlanta,
you know?
For sure.
I think Trae Young's going to be a solid player because anybody who's got ball handling skills like that and can shoot, it'll bulk him up just a little bit.
Right.
Don't compare him to Steph Curry, but he's going to be a player. You got range like that. You can shoot free throws, and you can handle the ball. That's deadly in NBA. That's something that's going to
pass, too.
And he can pass. He can pass to nobody. Fucking Bazemore. Fuck's he gonna pass to at Atlanta?
Blaze
he pass to the fucking stands. They're gonna fucking catch shit. That team's gonna fucking suck.
Schroeder is it?
Schroeder.
Oh, he's gonna be gone.
Get the fuck.
Oh,
he's gone.
Oh, he'll be gone.
Yeah,
he'll be gone. He's already pretty much said he wants to. He wants out of there.
I don't know anybody else on there.
Oh, well,
is Dominique still playing? No,
I think he's an advisor now. All right, he at the very least does
the
broadcast.
He does the broadcast.
He does the broadcast. I thought the same thing. I know we were all kind of texting in our group text that. Doncic was probably the most NBA-ready guy in this entire draft.
Yeah.
And the Mavs get a steal.
Let's talk about the highlights, first of all, that they're showing for some of these players. It's a fucking joke. Some of these plays they were showing were fucking joke. Like, rattling dunks. Like, they couldn't find fucking stats for some of these guys. Just dribbling around the court, like, getting into the lane for a regular layup.
Yeah.
Like, a wide-open breakaway. Like, what are you? What kind of fucking highlights are these, man?
Well, I'll
even
tell you,
Ayton had some just like a drop off dunks. I'm like, is that a highlight?
Right.
First fuck, pick for the number one pick highlights. Should have some monster highlights. You know?
Can I tell
I
you?
I barely
this
watched
much?
That fucking guy play all last year.
Ayton.
Yeah. I mean, he's on the West Coast. I get it. Arizona packed, but still, fuck, man. The number one pick of all the hype that they created, overhyped from one all the way down to five. Because after that, it was fucking who gives a fuck.
Right. Well, we'll get to that in a second. I'll tell you this. This is my take on the bad highlights or the you know the highlight reels that don't make as much sense. The problem is you've got the guys at ESPN putting those highlights together.
Right, of course.
So those guys don't have as much of a vested interest. It's like, let me grab six or seven plays. We'll throw this on a loop. Now, if the agents were in charge of submitting the highlight reel, I'll tell you what. They're going to have some badass highlights because they're going to have their own guys in the film room, in the production room, putting together. I mean, because the agents, that's what they're going to do.
Well, the agents don't do that, so it's just – it is what it is. The ESPN's got to do a better job. They're the one that's are selling the fucking draft, right? So put some fucking nice stuff up
and
there.
And the agents at that point, they don't care because they want their highlights to be on the NBA floor anyways.
They're fucking already counting their money, man. They got Puma fucking signing every fucking scrappy, shitty player they can fucking get. They're hedging. They're not hedging nothing. They're just going all in, signing Bagley and signing Ayton and Jay-Z and all these guys. Like, they haven't played a game, and they're trying to get a little piece of the market. Sure. They have no chance.
Sorry. Puma?
Puma has no chance.
Yeah, no I don't fucking know, chance. Like, I just,
but my point is just, like, the players are already making money before they even come near the NBA. They already signed
a lot,
contract.
A lot
I mean,
of money, too.
When we heard LeBron James signed a $90 million contract, that made sense. We're like, Nike fucking gets it.
Oh, yeah.
They fucking, this is LeBron James, man. We haven't seen anybody coming out of the draft since then.
Yeah, with that kind of money. I mean, yeah, the guy made $90 million before he stepped on NBA court.
But that was like, nope. That was like, geez, how sharp is Nike to do
that? Yeah,
because he knew.
For sure.
That's what I'm trying to say. The draft since then, I haven't got excited for the draft since then.
Yeah, I don't get excited about this draft. By the way, did you guys know there was an NHL draft last night?
Yeah, I heard on the way here.
Wow. NHL, what's NHL?
Yeah, exactly. but yeah, I'm with you. There's just no excitement with the draft because, I mean, once you get outside of the top five picks.
Yeah.
Does it matter?
I mean, I knew a few of them, but it's just like Porter Jr. hurt back going for it. That was like the biggest story after that. And I'm like,
right.
The guy's got a hurt back, you know?
Right.
But my sleeper on that one, it's not a sleeper, but Knox for the Knicks is going to be a solid player. He's a good player, man. And it's hard to see him play in college because of all the talent that was on his team.
Right, yeah.
But I'm telling you, man, a guy can handle. He can play. He's tall. He's a good player. He's gonna be the guy that's gonna surprise everybody next year in NBA.
I mean,
surprise you and get you 12 points a game.
isn't that crazy? Yeah. But that's the reality of it,
right?
You know, because being in New York City,
all right,
for him should be like. I mean, that's pretty cool.
And they booed him.
That young and yeah, right. Well,
New York don't know what the fuck they're doing, man.
Well,
the fans
they
don't know what the fuck
they're
cried
doing. They
cried
when they
you
drafted
got the mascot
Porzingis.
Spike Lee out there with the fucking Jesus Christ. The older he gets, the more of a mascot he becomes. Like, jeez, man.
Right.
Come
I remember
on, man.
You saw the kid on the broadcast who was crying and thumbs down when the Knicks made their draft pick.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just kept thinking of the viral video of the guy after the Knicks drafted Porzingis.
Oh yeah, man.
When he was going,
who's this fucking guy?
I mean, that's the reality of it. Fans don't know shit.
No.
I mean, you don't. And that's why we're out here watching what they do, and then we get to pick them apart and do all that stuff. Biggest winner in the draft?
Mine was Dallas.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Getting
and I like the Knicks.
With Dennis Smith Jr. They got Brunson. He's not the greatest, but he was the point guard for Villanova.
Yeah,
they
I
got
actually,
a nice little young
I like
core.
That pick a lot.
They did a nice job. I agree
Harrison
with
Barnes, it's with Carlisle as the coach.
Well, I'll tell you what.
They're getting back.
I'm with you. We don't disagree on this. I think the Mavs stole the draft.
Yeah.
And being able to trade and get Doncic because, like we said, probably the most NBA-ready player in the draft. But then in addition to that, Mavs have got this solid young core there. They've got a veteran in Dirk, not to play. He's not going to do anything on the court, but to help bring up guys like Dennis Smith and Doncic. Under his leadership, his veteran leadership, I think will be great for them. And they've got a ton of cap space to go out and sign some guys.
You got to get a star, man. They're still not going to do shit.
Dirk's
with that
going on
lineup.
His 21st year for one franchise.
Wheelchair basketball, dude. He fucking barely can walk.
He's gonna pass Kobe Bryant.
He can barely fucking walk. Thank God you got a jumper. Thank God you got a smooth jumper to bail you out. But that fucking guy can barely walk down the court.
Oh, I know.
It's bad.
Oh my God.
I think he just wants this 21-year thing.
Dude, he still puts up some games, but it's fine. I don't mind him out there. 14 points. They ain't gonna do shit in the West.
Yeah,
No, they're not gonna win no championship. But they're young. And they got some.
I'm saying, you know, if Doncic
becomes a stud, like
they're gonna make the playoffs with that team.
Probably not. You know what? A little early.
I think
not in the West, man.
Not this year. But I'll tell you what, they like the future's looking bright for them.
Yeah, so, that's what I'm talking about.
But to your point about Dirk, I think it was ESPN put up the stat. Dirk is older than Dennis Smith and Doncic combined.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
What about Noel?
What about Doncic's mom?
Well, I was.
Hello.
That was my next point.
Hello.
The Mavs didn't just win the trade because
I thought that
they
was his girlfriend at first, and I was just like, yeah, totally. And then I looked into it again and saw what you guys, and I was like, wow.
Listen, I feel bad for him.
Norland's Noel?
No. What the fuck is Norland Noel? Dude?
He's on the staff too. I just thought about it.
I told you about him a long time ago.
In the league though?
He made a bad gamble on himself.
That was bad.
He fucked himself.
You never know.
I feel bad for Doncic because I can only imagine what he's got to be going through. Like, you've already got players in the league tweeting about your mom. My best friend in high school, like, everybody thought his sisters were hot, and he got it all the time because he was around the other athletes.
Yeah.
I feel bad for him. He's going to prove himself on the court, and then he's going to be able to push back on that. But
She's in the stands. We'll see her when we watch him.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Losers of the draft?
Sixers. I think losing that Mikal Bridges, he's a good player, man. He's a good rotation guy. Can get you 12, 14, 15 points a game. He's got a nice jumper, pull up. He's like all-around guy. And they just give him up when they had him. I thought he would fit perfect in that system with the Sixers, and they let him go.
I don't understand.
Know who they got, Smith or Zaire or somebody. Is he any good? I don't know anything about him, but that's who they got in return for him.
All signs point to Zaire Smith being a hell of an athlete. That's the scouting report I got on him. I'm with you. I thought they made a great pick in Mikal Bridges.
Yeah, I was like, wow.
I thought that was like kick and ball. Kick and play.
Losers in the draft, every fucking team after pick number 6.
You don't know that.
They all fucking suck.
You don't know that.
What
man.
Was the fucking point?
You don't
trade
know
them,
that.
Trade them, get a fucking veteran player, get somebody who's going to come in and contribute, make all the trades you can make after
no
that.
No way.
Fuck yeah.
Utah player for, it was what, 12, 14 pick that we didn't pick up?
Mitchell? Rookie of the year?
Did you know anything about
that's him? In hindsight. Fuck them. Trade them.
You never know. These are probably the better picks that from 10
they
to 15.
They fucking all suck, dude.
Well, they're the lesser hype guys, so.
We'll see about it.
Yeah, I mean, the ceiling is the roof for them.
Or now the new thing, the floor.
Right.
This floor here. I'm like,
let's talk about
that.
What
the fuck is that?
Because my losers.
I get it, but like. You're guaranteeing that's his floor?
Let's
what about Markelle Fultz? Where's his floor? It's in the fucking basement under the fucking ground, fucking dig another trench. Jeez.
We're going to talk about that. To your point about the floor, my losers in this draft are the Memphis Grizzlies with the Jaren Jackson pick at 4. I don't get it.
I just remember seeing a first game of him, I was like, wow, he's going to be great. And then I saw like 2 or 3 games in college where he wasn't even there.
Yeah, the big no-show.
Just a no-show, no talent, bricks off the backboard from shooting outside. I'm like, what the fuck is going on with this guy? And then an NCAA tournament, I don't even think he showed up at all.
No. They won a championship
if he did. They're going all in on this guy. I guess I'm missing something to be picked that high, to go that high.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I don't.
I agree with that.
I don't get it. I mean, we watched him playing for Michigan State. He was second to Bridges.
Bridges must have had just a bad training, like team workouts or something like that.
Maybe
to drop that.
But I'm just saying. And
yeah, I don't know how he goes
on the Spartans. I don't think it was any doubt that Bridges was the better player.
Better, yeah, I don't know. I guess it's just the size, the height, and length. I don't know, going out and stepping out.
I don't get it.
You want to see, I'm having trouble understanding the NBA's philosophy on, like, the game is changing to the 3-point big guys, shooters, everybody's shooting. But then the first 2 picks go to guys who can't shoot outside the, you know.
Exactly.
Even Jay Billis will try to sell you that, oh, he's a good 3-point shooter, and if he works on it. Come on, man. I watched Bagley. He barely shot jump shots occasionally when it was given to him. And Ayton can't shoot for shit. Oh, you're trying to tell me that he's a potential great shooter from outside. A step back 10 footer. If you can build that, then you're a good shooter. He barely did that, dude. He's a dunker. He's a drop off. Right. He's like a old fashioned center almost. Like he could a couple more moves. Like if he could be a Capella, that's what you're gonna get from a number one pick. Capella's a fucking great player. He ain't shooting threes, but they're selling. Then they're gonna try to sell you that Jackson is a shooter at his size, wingspan 7'4", but he's gonna shoot threes. What's his wingspan gonna do for you?
Exactly.
Is he going to get you any offensive rebounds way out at the three-point line? You guys know I'm so against the guys shooting threes. I'm just so – I don't care if it spreads the floor or not. Opens up what? No second-chance points. No tip dunks. No alley-oops. Okay? That's why Capella's so successful, because everybody's stepping back out and he's going to the fucking lane.
Right.
Right?
Well, and the difference is –
I'm confused. The number one pick who can't shoot is they're going crazy over. And then at the same time, they're trying to sell Jackson as a great shooter for his size and ability, freak this, freak that.
Yeah, but that's all relative. Like and to your point, that's what they say, you know, for his size. But if you watch him shoot, like his mechanics, like, he's like pushing the ball. There's no flick of the wrist. It's just weird. Like Frank said in our group text, he's shooting like we all did in middle school from the hip.
I just don't get it, man. Yeah. This whole big guy shooting, not one shooter has a fluid jumper enough for me to say that boy can shoot. Like Nowitzki.
Right.
7-footer. Durant, 7-footer. Like, none of these guys have it. They can make a shot. I understand that. You can make a shot 30%, 3 out of 10, dude. Yeah. Like, come on, man. Give me a break, man. We got players that are specialty players in the league that are shooting. Don't fucking go out there and take that. It's confusing to me.
The analytics have fucked with that, right?
Even that doesn't make sense, though. It just doesn't make any sense still to me.
Well, that's D'Antoni's Achilles heel, the analytics. We shoot more threes, we have a chance to make more threes. Well, let me tell you something.
That gets you close.
Let me tell you something, though.
But don't get you to win.
The analytics I care about is what's the percentage you're shooting at the end of the day. That's the analytic number that I care about.
I'm looking at it opposite. Where are you losing? By shooting, where are you losing? Where do you rank in offensive rebounds? Where do you rank in tip second chance points? Where's your rank there? No one talks about that. Where do you rank in those stats as opposed to like more shooting? Are you losing there? Or are you maintaining there? If you're maintaining high and numbers there and shooting, you got a deadly weapon, and that's the Golden State Warriors.
Well, I think the big man shooting could work if teams still had the too big approach, right? Because if you still had the other guy, the special...
Or if you have that Draymond Green guy that's going to crash when you shoot.
Or Capella, right. But the other guy... But now, all the big guys want to shoot, so they're all on the perimeter. One guy's not committed to going to the paint to get the offensive rebounds or get everything else going for them. So if the teams could get that buy-in from one of the guys who might not be the better...
But
the
also, it also does, to get into basketball, if your big guy's there... Your other defensive guy has to drop, which lets you swing the ball around the perimeter to get to your shooter.
Yes. But everybody's a shooter now, right?
If he doesn't rotate and he's going to drop, how many times do you see Cleveland fuck that up?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep,
a lot. If he doesn't rotate, the defense doesn't rotate to get to that shooter, whoever it is, and they don't rotate to the big guy, instead you have five guys on the perimeter. Nobody has to rotate.
Yep.
It's just who's going to pull up?
Yeah.
The guy cuts in the basket. He rotates. Boom, the shooter comes out. Bam.
In Phoenix's case, they're trying to fill out their roster. They're looking at Booker. They're looking at, now they got Mikal Bridges. Now they got, well, Josh Jackson's still developing. And then you got Ayton down low. They're trying to fill up that roster. It's not just trying to find a shooter.
You got to pick them.
Shooter, shooter, shooter. They're trying to fill that roster up like Houston Rockets, maybe. They're trying to fill it up, trying to find another Capella. They're trying to bring the big man's back in the league, maybe. I don't know. They're trying to fill that roster up.
Well,
Phoenix is another winner. In his draft. Phoenix absolutely is another winner in his draft. I think they got a pretty good starting five.
Well, they didn't fuck up the number one pick, so by virtue of that,
getting Mikal Bridges from the Philly pick.
That was
like,
good.
Wow. So that's what they're trying to do, and that's why they got Ayton.
They have a solid young core there, but they ain't ever winning shit.
Well,
they ain't winning fucking dick.
Just like that. Just like that. No one's winning now, guys. We're not talking about winning the championship beating Golden State here.
Right.
These are for down the road, man. Down the road. Like Dallas, and now you got Phoenix.
You got no time to develop down the road. You have no fucking time.
You have no other choice, John. No,
I'm not saying that. We're not arguing that the pick is bad. I'm not arguing. There's no time to develop. You got super teams developing while you're trying to develop. How the fuck do you compete with that? Mark, you go develop your rookies while I just go make some fucking trades and develop my super team.
You want to be like you
how do you
be,
compete with that?
You want to be like Utah. You want to surprise people.
No, you don't.
Well, I'm saying right now.
Surprise who? That was luck.
How is that luck? They got a pretty good team, coach, all that. What do you mean?
To get Mitchell to develop that fast, that was luck.
They're trying to stay
relevant. No one saw that coming.
They're trying to stay relevant. They know they're not, him. They're
I
not
love,
winning
I love Mitchell
they're
so much.
No, they're not winning it.
Develop. What's developing is super teams. Okay, it's just developing. It's happening.
Okay, not every franchise.
As soon as
do that,
you develop
though.
Your player, he gone. He's gone.
Well,
Ayton, if he has like a good rookie year, he's gonna start looking around. And if we ain't winning in 2-3 years, I'm out.
What do you do as another franchise besides Houston, Golden State?
That's their problem. Who? That's what I'm trying
do?
To tell
what do you.
What
you do? You try to pick. You try to make your best pick. You try to put.
You got
to
make a fucking trade. You got to make a trade and get somebody fucking a star.
Who you're not?
That's what I'm trying to tell you. After pick fucking six, you trade those draft picks and go after a star because you need it now.
They're not coming there anyways. Man.
Or you even use pick number 5 to go get yourself a fucking tier 2 star in the draft and a deal. That's where the GMs get fucking make their money on making those deals, making those trades like fucking Dan, like Ainge did. Making those deals and fucking getting trade and draft picks and getting ready to use. He uses those picks. Ainge uses those picks to get those players, man.
Yeah, well, you got to.
Well, he certainly looks like a genius.
Yeah.
Now. He used to get a bad rap for overanalyzing and trying to rate people on trades and get away with Grand Theft Auto.
Dude, trading fucking Garnett and Pierce
and all those
guys to get those picks. Is what you do. You know when you drain your guy, your star, and when you can. That's why I was saying for the Pistons, get rid of Stanley Johnson 2 years ago because you can sell his potential still. You can't sell his potential anymore, man. He's what, 4 years in? 5?
No, that's a mistake.
He's almost at full development. He could get a little bit better, but you're not going to get a 25-24 guy. When he's second year in, you put him together in a package with a draft pick and you go after somebody, man. That's where the good GMs fucking thrive. The draft is hard, man. Just to pick and there's no time to develop anybody, man. No one's loyal anymore. You got to think about that. This guy gets good, he's going to go. He's going to go to a super team. That's what they're doing now.
It's unfair.
Mini super teams, whatever it is.
NBA
no one's
become,
sticking around.
NBA has
you
become
think,
unfair.
Fucking Vlade Divac, worst GM in the fucking league. You hear what he said? We have a super team.
Yeah, he did say that.
They're just very young. Very young super team.
What?
Good luck, bro. Because they're fucking gone as soon as they develop.
Gotta say that.
No one's staying in fucking Sacktown.
No, he doesn't have to say that.
No,
you got a super team with a bunch of.
He doesn't have to say a super team, but you can.
Young
you can
Thundercats
speak.
Running around.
Fucking guy just had, like, just had like 3 cigars and fucking 20 beers the night before. Gets up to the podium, no tie. Yeah, we have a super team. Very young, but super team. Get the fuck out of here, bro. Who's Stojakovic? That's his fucking GM. No one's speaking English in the front office, and they fucking getting guys. The owner, owner's from Bangladesh. I don't know where the fuck he's from. What the fuck is going on over there, man? Sell the fucking team, man. Get the fuck out of there. Bring fucking Chris Webber.
Bangladesh?
Bring fucking Turkoglu back. Fucking, he's going to be the third assistant.
I love Turkoglu. He's great. He was awesome. Well, it's one thing when you have a GM that doesn't do their job. It's another thing when you don't have a GM entirely, and that's where the Pistons are.
Yeah.
And can we talk about the narrative right now that the Pistons had a really good draft with the 38th and the 42nd pick?
Oh, the narrative Get is fucking
the
hilarious,
fuck
dude.
Out of here. How can you write a narrative about the future's looking bright?
Off the bench, they're saying.
The
help.
Future's
Off
looking
the bench,
bright.
Help.
You just drafted two rookies, 38th and 42nd. And these guys are ready to contribute.
Dota's hot. You know how Dota's
they traded
hot?
They traded
voice,
down, though.
Dota's
they?
Voice just went up fucking couple notches right
these
there.
These guys are ready to contribute. What'd you put in this coffee, bro?
Shot.
Oh, shit.
I mean, come on, man. It's a joke.
It is a joke, dude.
It's a joke. You're going to sit there and try to sell me damaged goods.
Well, it's up to you to take that seriously or not.
Don't insult
gonna,
my intelligence.
They're going to
exactly.
write that.
You
they
don't
gotta
even
write
have to look
things,
into
man,
that shit,
guys.
Dude.
Don't
yeah.
insult
they
my
write
intelligence.
For that, for
Those
that
guys aren't even going to make the roster. They're going
Listen,
right to the fucking
We analyze
D-League.
Every little thing. There's a lot of people out there that are not analyzing. They're just looking
I'm
at
I'm not
the
analyzing shit.
Thing.
I'm just reading. I'm seeing it.
You don't know these guys,
I'm not gonna
man.
Go deep
you don't know these players.
I ain't going to Jay Billison.
You guys don't know what's going to happen.
I'm not Jay Billison it. I'm not Jay Billison it. That's
right. I'm not going to pretend.
You don't know.
I'm not going to pretend that I watched a ton of tape on Kyrie Thomas and Bruce Brown. I'm not going to pretend that I know who the hell these guys are, okay?
Right.
But I'm also not going to pretend that these guys drafted at 38, 42nd are going to come in and turn this franchise around and make an immediate impact. That's how they're selling it.
That's just dumb.
That's how they're selling it.
This is dumb.
These guys are going to come in. They're ready to contribute. They're going to be fighting for minutes. Well, shit, that's what rookies have to do. You fight for minutes.
Fight
you
for
kidding
a spot.
Me?
Forget about minutes. They got to fight for the fucking spot in summer league.
I was reading different. I was reading something different on that. I didn't read that. I heard that they're going to have to. Yeah, they're going to have to fight to get playing time. I heard that.
No, but it was more
they are very strong guys. They're one of the guys is like a 2-time defensive player in his conference. I think it was Bruce Brown, if I'm not mistaken.
From Miami.
I mean, these guys, they play really good defense. That's the scouting report.
And who plays defense anymore?
Mark, I'm looking at you in your eye, and I'm trying to listen to you, and I'm thinking about it. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? No offense to you. I'm just thinking about the guys. I'm like, you're telling me like these
you
good
don't know,
things
guys.
About them? I'm like, listen, what? What?
I'm just reading.
I'm thinking, you know what I'm thinking? G League and out the league. G League, out the league.
You guys are being
And then negative. I'm thinking NFL. How many trades happen in the NFL, second round pick, third round pick, and they get a good player? Who the fuck wants a 42nd pick or 38th?
That's what you got.
How can you even trade that? No one even wants that.
That's the mistake.
That should just add like
right off the rip is your picks are fucking at 48th.
When I read that the Pistons made a trade and got the 38th pick, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
All right.
Come on,
that's the mistake going in it. Now who you got? If you got somebody good, I don't know.
I appreciate what you're doing as a fan and trying to look at the glass half full here.
Be optimistic.
But that when the glass is full of gasoline, it doesn't matter if it's half full or half empty. If you're drinking that shit.
We're an absolute mess. We are.
That's an understatement.
So you're going to get depressed now?
No. I'm still trying to wrap my head around. Listen, I got the Pistons logo behind me on this wall, okay? I'm a Pistons fan through and through. I grew up. That's why I watch basketball. That's my big brother got me into Bad Boys and all that stuff. So I'm a Pistons fan. I am. I'm emotional about it because I demand the best out of my home teams. I want to see these guys compete. This has been the worst year or two in Detroit sports history. It's awful.
If they're writing shit to try to manipulate you, that's dumb.
Well, they're going to try to
make their picks look good. I get it.
They can talk about what are the facts. The guy was a 2-time defensive player. That's all you can get at 42nd, 600 picks. So if he was, then there's a positive, I guess, out of it. They're strong, I heard. They're real strong guys. I don't know.
That's great. They can win an arm wrestling contest.
That's my point that you got to try to make
some
trades.
Strong and good defense. Fuck it. That's all we can get nowadays.
Yeah, it's tough.
Okay?
It's tough.
It is tough.
It's just tough.
It's not going to make me buy season tickets now, guys.
It's tough to develop lottery picks and draft picks when players – can dictate where they want to fucking go, even from the draft.
It's unfair. Right?
Who was it that said they didn't want to go to Memphis?
Clearly, it wasn't Jaren Jackson.
Like they're telling the team, I'm not gonna give you my medical release form. I'm not gonna release my medical forms to you because I don't want to come to you. Like
that's dumb.
That's hard. And then they're developing super. How are you gonna even compete, man? You gotta just. It's crazy what you got to do now to compete in the NBA. It's all relative to the super teams that are being created.
You got to try to stay a little fun, like the Detroit Tigers. You got to try to stay fun.
Well, but the rebuilds are different.
Get people there. Get them a little bit of excitement.
It's different.
Some plays, some highlights, some this, some maybe.
The rebuild is different, though. The mentality of young baseball players and getting their first big crack at the majors is completely different than what it is for NBA players. You got to think about this. Only 60 jobs open up in the NBA.
Right.
Every year. That's it.
Yeah.
Those are the newcomers. Only 60 of them. That's not a lot. So there's an opportunity for these guys to go have great professional careers
overseas
and all that stuff.
17 rounds?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying that the mentality there is the best 60 guys get into the pros. The door there for these guys that they have a good college career, it's right there. Their mentality is money. I'm hungry at fame, superstar-driven league. I want to be a face of the league. Major League Baseball, it's not the same. So the hunger and the motivation
I'm just
behind
talking
that is
about,
just different.
You know you're not going to be a champion for a long time. You know you're not going to compete with the biggest teams in the league. You just got to try to build with what you have, surround people with what you got, and just go from there. Try to stay relevant. Try to stay a little excitement. Don't be the last team in the conference or in the league.
It's not enough.
You know, it's not enough, but it's unfair. What else are you going to do when it's
not fucking unfair? You know why it's not fucking unfair? It's not unfair because you charged me and my son fucking $200 tickets to watch the fucking Grizzlies fucking play.
Exactly. Well, that's
okay? That's fucking not fair. Okay, don't fucking tell me it's fair when all these guys are making fucking $30 million, the managers, the coaches, all these fucking guys getting money, and then they're failing, and they're fucking, and then you're charging me fucking crazy amount of money to go come fucking watch an empty stadium play. Give me a fucking break. It's not fucking fair. We demand fucking more. Boom!
Well, that's why their seats are all empty. That's why there's no one there watching these games.
It's not fair.
I think they overshot. They overshot their expectation of the excitement of a new arena. I thought they would get. I actually thought the Pistons were going to get the first season as the, you know, you were going to have an excuse. You were still going to get people there because it's the new arena. The excitement of that. No, they put a shit product on the court, and people paid them back by not showing up.
Shit product that and charging fucking triple of what they should have been. I used to be able to go to Palace. I mean, I used to be okay with that high price Palace ticket, which was a great place, by the way. And now they double the fucking price for shitty teams, man.
Yeah, it's
that's fucked up. So how are you gonna want me to support you when I've already got a sour taste in my mouth, and then you fail? So I'm critiquing you every fucking thing you do. I'm not giving you a chance. Bullshit, man. And then you want to go see you want to watch a star play? Forget it. Forget about it. No, tickets are outrageous.
Yeah.
Outrageous.
And outrageous.
I can't take my family of six to a fucking game. I'm spending over $1,000 to sit if I want to sit in the anywhere in the lower bowl. Not, you know, me, I know I like to sit close, but still.
Right.
But anywhere in the lower bowl is going to cost me $1,000 to go to a Pistons game.
It's awful.
Against an average team.
It's awful.
Well, you're going there to
watch the other team. I paid $400 to watch Milwaukee Bucks. Roll fucking 20.
Yeah, the Greek.
It was free throw line extended, but it wasn't fucking front. For two tickets, $400 fucking dollars, man. That's a lot of money.
I won't go.
It's insane. Speaking of ratings, the World Cup, everybody's watching the World Cup, or are they? Because the ratings are down 44% from the last World Cup in the first round. I get it. It's the first round. A lot of games. I think it's a two-part problem. One, let's talk about the U.S. and how we engage with sports, right? We take it everywhere. We watch it everywhere, all of that. When Team USA is not in it, that's a big blow to World Cup soccer,
and I
know it's an international sport, but not having Team USA in there, just to have that little bit of, what would they have played, three games at least in the first?
Last week I said
it set us back. It set them back. That wasn't just for this year. This set the whole progression of soccer in the United States by not making the World Cup. They don't even have an idea till now that what that did. Italy hurt too, because there's a lot of talent.
For sure.
Obviously.
For sure, 100%. Yeah.
That hurts a lot too, but the Italian fans are going to watch it more than American fans. But
yeah,
you needed to just build. It's like they were building little by little. It's not grabbing. It's just not because there's all the other sports. There's so many other sports, and this one is just in the back. So, but that hurt. That set them back now, like
huge.
And then you got no NBA, and then you got NHL is over. Say,
but that should help.
No NFL,
that
right? Should help. And that's why America or USA is not in it, and that's what you get. You have the chance, you have the window for all these ratings to skyrocket here in America, and when your team's not in it, what are you watching? What are you watching? You know?
Well,
you got to look, like I said, you got to look for the stars.
But some of the games are at 6 a.m.
It's tough to watch.
I mean, I'm listening on the radio. It's not the same. You got to watch soccer.
Right.
Oh, for sure.
The fucking speed is amazing that these guys can play. Man, the fucking speed, Brazil's team. Fucking the speed and the ball handling is heck
of a watch,
man.
The game.
But listening on the radio doesn't do it on XM radio. It just doesn't. I mean, the announcers are screaming the whole time. That's okay, but you got to see it, man.
Well, the
you
got to
see the
there.
Way they bend the ball around the edges, the fucking shots that they take, that they create. That's fun to watch. So, but yeah, not having USA in it really hurt the development of U.S. soccer.
Right. Totally agree with that.
And I think it hurt the ratings, too. To your point about trying to listen to them on the radio, it's the one sport that. Like, it's a beautiful game to watch. The you know, when a guy bends the ball on a kick and scores, or off a corner kick or a free kick, like, you can't illustrate that. You can't tell people that who are just average fans. You can't illustrate that to them over the radio. Like, you have to watch that. And some of these games have been brutal even for regular soccer fans. I mean, 1-0 games, 0-0 draws.
Right.
It's just – it's tough, man. And I get it. It's tough to score. But
that just makes my – that's where you have to have your team. You have to be like passionate about your team when it's 0-0.
Yep.
If you're an outsider looking in, you're not interested in that 0-0 game. But if you're a fan of your team, like if you USA, you're like, wow, they're fighting. They got to win this. They're going to pull this out in penalty or whatever it is. But when they're not there, you're just like, okay, if you're watching Nigeria versus Iceland, you're just like, okay, cool. I'll just wait to see what the result is. I'm checking out. Like, I'll just wait, right?
You know, there could be a lot of great games that are 0-0. Those that are true soccer fans, they're watching every little thing. Like, we analyze basketball or baseball, you know.
Right. They're just not going to get the rating. I would rather they play a 45-minute half, that would the whole game, and then go right to shootout. I would watch an hour of the shootout. The shootout in soccer is better than any other deciding moment in sports. I mean, that is incredible. It is so, like, the goalie is literally guessing, and he's got to commit to that fully.
Yeah.
And it's got to be the toughest defending job, right?
And then he's got to make a fantastic save after he guesses.
So you got to guess the side and then up or high.
Yeah.
I mean, up or low. And then it's just fucking incredible.
And the pressure of the kicker, too, you know? It's not guaranteed. You know?
It's huge.
Yeah.
That's got to be the toughest defense job in all of sports.
And then with the pressure that around the world, those teams have so much pressure. The players, think about them. Fucking guys get death threats.
Well, yeah,
for sure.
Roberto Baggio.
Remember
Roberto Baggio?
I'm surprised he's still alive.
Right. The key, I mean, to get more ratings or to get better is these three superstars that are in the soccer. Is Neymar, Ronaldo, and Messi. They can't be knocked out. And luckily
Messi's about to get the fucking out.
Well, they're still in it. They got to play Nigeria on Tuesday.
If they win,
they can get in.
But they got to win by.
But they got to get in, man.
They got to win by like three goals.
We can't have superstars out. Before
but it
the
doesn't matter.
Round.
He hasn't done anything. Goals.
Ronaldo. That race is so tight for the best player all time.
Not anymore.
But Ronaldo.
Well, you got Neymar too.
Ronaldo.
Don't forget about Neymar.
No, he's not there. Ronaldo stepped it up. It's like he's doing like LeBron. He's just a freak still.
He's 34 years old. You believe Messi's only 30?
Yeah, I know. But this is his fourth. What, this is Ronaldo's fourth? Messi's fourth?
I think so, yeah.
And Messi last year quit, remember?
Yeah.
He quit?
He's a piece of shit.
He's second now. He's second.
He quit last game.
Ronaldo's
too.
A GOAT.
He walked
dude.
Out without shaking hands with anybody.
Ronaldo's a GOAT.
Yeah, he does that in a game that didn't even decide
if
they continue or not.
Right. And you're still in it.
It's fucked up.
Yeah.
I didn't like that. Lose a lot of respect for
athletes.
Sports
like that.
Reveals character, man.
Yeah.
Failure reveals character, too.
Okay. Let's talk about failure. Because the Sixers in the process had the number one pick last year. And he was the biggest headline. You know, it's easy to forget. It's easy to forget that Markelle Fultz was the number one pick because there was so much going on in the NBA this year. He's got a new trainer.
That's a fucking joke to me.
New trainer who's working on his jumper who says he just had a case of the jumper yips.
That's fucking
most,
so stupid.
The most bizarre
That's
situation
thing
I've ever heard in my life. How do you go from shooting 42% in college from the 3-point line to not knowing how to shoot a free throw? Or not even like put your elbow underneath the ball.
So let's talk
about
it.
You got to go all the way back to grade school.
Well, it started with
the
injury.
And learn your jumper again.
The injury,
and you're in the NBA.
And fucked him up mentally. The injury fucked his arm up.
Like, I have a question. Do you think the injury was really an injury? Or I think it was just...
I think he got hurt.
I think it was
just
a mental wound. Mental block.
And then it got to his head. It got to his head because he was the number one pick and he couldn't handle the pressure. So he mentally can't handle all that pressure that was for not playing. And then all of a sudden... He possibly developed, let's call it the yips, right?
Yeah.
Because in golf, they say putting yips. But I don't know. He's fucked.
You don't think it's fixable? Now, let's talk about, so it's Drew Hamlin.
No, because it's mental. It's mental gameplay.
And listen.
Like, I'm struggling with my golf game, okay? I might have a mental yip on the tee box, right? Because I cannot get off the tee. But when I'm at the driving range, I am fucking ripping my drives down the middle. But when I get up to the tee, I'm snapping them left every time, and I can't fix it. I'm trying everything. It's fucking my game up. There's something going on there that I'm trying so hard to fix it on the range that once I get up there, something happens with it. Maybe it's a little anxiety that happens and then you cannot get back to your training. So he's got to get in there and get one-hand jumpers going for fucking hours.
He can get his confidence back in training in an empty stadium or court and just shoot and get some confidence back.
You know how you get it back?
But like you said, like – when you get into the real game,
Here's what it
there's,
is.
There's the mental. There's the mental stuff.
There's
now
something
you gotta,
going on
you
with anxiety. There's something going on with anxiety there. Because he came and played well. He played well. A spurt at the end of the season last year.
Yeah, he did.
He did. He had a couple jumpers. He didn't shoot threes, but he got to the lane.
I think he played one
as
game,
a team,
though.
As a coach, I would tell him, you got to play. Don't shoot jumpers if you don't want. Slash to the lane. The guy can fucking jump. The guy can fucking finish.
Oh, yeah. He's
play defense and just contribute. Don't worry about jumpers. Let it come naturally to you. Work on it with the coaching staff. If you fucking, your coaching team has to bring in your third specialist to shoot, give me a fucking break, dude. Shooting is fundamental. Everybody knows the fundamentals of shooting. Elbow underneath the ball, follow through, one-hand jumper, step back 2 feet, one-hand jumper, 1,000 a day. It's not that. It's in his mind. Let him get in the game where he forgets. You got to start playing like in golf. I know I got to start playing where I forget about the mechanics.
Right.
Okay? He's got to get into the game, and he's got to start playing regular defense, sweating, bumping, get into the lane and ones and stop forgetting and let and you start talking to him and start saying things like, who cares? I don't care if you airball your fucking shots. Just get out there and play. Because after a while of that, it's going to click. It's going to click. Shots are going to start going in, and he's going to start knowing that he stops thinking because he's got to think about other things, and shots are going to start going down. And we don't need you to be the number one pick. We just need you to contribute. If you want to just 6 points a game, that's what the team's got to do around because he has talent. He came in. And was scoring, man. He played well.
That's why I think it was so shocking that all of a sudden he's got the yips and like it's like he didn't know how to shoot a basketball like he's never done it before. Yeah,
well,
when in college you watched him, he could shoot from 25 feet, no problem. Exactly. It was just an afterthought.
The pressure of being the number one pick got to him. That's all it is.
I'm with you on that. I think not just the number one pick, but the number one pick for the process.
Then
and now you
hurt.
Got Ben Simmons there, and you got his nuts, and it's just. The pressure of that in addition to the – like you're supposed to have an immediate impact and all that stuff. So let's talk about Drew Hanlon because he's got a lot of credibility in the league. He worked with Embiid. He worked with Tatum. He turned Tatum into from a 30% three-point shooter in college to a 40% three-point shooter in the NBA. He still gives him shit about it and tells him Tatum should have been the number one pick, which I love that.
Yeah.
So the guy's got credibility in what he's going to be able to do for the mechanics. Does he also need a mental coach?
Yes.
He needs
more than
a
mechanics coach, man, because he already has it. He's trying to develop a guy who doesn't shoot a lot to a shooter is one thing. Trying to get back a guy who was a shooter to shoot again is all mental. And you don't have to even get, like I just said, I just want to repeat myself, the team has to just take the pressure off of him.
Yeah.
Just take pressure and play basketball and give us some layups and give us 8 points come off the bench. And just develop. Just relax. Just play basketball. Go to the summer league and just play basketball. Don't worry about what people are going to say about your jumper because social media just killed him.
I'm
guaranteeing you it. They just killed him with the injury. And then someone leaking that shot. You can't do that as a team. You cannot let people take pictures of him while he's shooting. You can't do that. You got to just let him play. I'm telling you. The mechanics is fucking him up more. I guarantee you. Now you're going to have to change what he knows is inside. Oh, my God. Are you fucking kidding me?
That's a project.
Oh, my
God.
They're going to fuck him up more with this guy.
I think
they're going to fuck him up more with this guy.
He'll be out of the league.
I think the Sixers, I don't know how much they have a responsibility to save his career. I think what they owe to the Sixers fan base is to get Fultz to a level that's respectable, trade him, move him out of there, give him a different scene which it might work. If you take the pressure off him, he goes somewhere else. Yeah. It's no longer about being the number one pick. You got traded.
Fucking take him in a minute.
Oh, yeah.
No jumper. You got fucking Simmons can't shoot a fucking lick, and they're making him the fucking next LeBron James.
We'll take all the scraps. You got any scraps?
Kyle Kuzma.
We'll take all the
That's fucking exciting.
We need Kemba. We need Kemba.
Fuck, what a team we got.
We need Kemba, man.
Blake and fucking Drummond. That's a good start lineup. Kemba Walker, Fultz, Kuzma, Blake, and fucking Drummond.
Where are we going to go with that? Like, back to you.
We're going to go to the game. You know where we're going?
We're not winning the
championship. We're going to go to the fucking games and pay $200 a fucking seat. That's where we're going, boy. That's where we're going.
That's what these teams are trying to do, is to get your ass up and go to the game.
I'm going to that game.
Yeah, you get the names. You get the names.
That's what these other franchises are doing. That's my point.
I'm sorry. Blake just wasn't enough to put my ass in the seat at LCA. let's talk about another project. LeVar Ball willed his son, Lonzo, into the number two pick last year. I think if you're going to judge it, he had some injuries. He didn't play to his full potential. I don't know that you can judge his first year.
No, he's an NBA player.
Lonzo.
Lonzo's an NBA player.
Lonzo is.
Yeah.
His brother.
All other brothers?
But I'm
not
talking
even
about,
close.
I'm talking about.
Not even close.
This is where he's at now. So LaVar Ball got the best basketball player of his sons with the Lakers. Tried to will his sons, all of them, to play for the Lakers. Took them to Lithuania. LiAngelo Ball doesn't get drafted. The Lakers are like, we're not inviting you to the summer league.
That's it.
I'm surprised they let him. They invited him.
If he got into the G League, I'd be impressed. If he got him into the G League, I'd be impressed.
Well, he's going to play in the JBA League. Is he already playing?
That's a joke. I'm not watching that league.
That's
his son
the
had
league
40
he's playing.
Points.
That's it.
His
that's
son
where he's
had
at.
44 points.
That's where he's at. Yeah.
His little son had fucking 44 points with the ugliest fucking haircut.
And there were 44 people in the stands, too, on opening day.
That's a lot.
44 people?
That was at the YMCA. The league is at the YMCA. There's only fucking 50 that can
fit
in there.
It was in a.
It was at almost at capacity.
Wasn't it at like a
37 where his family of the 44?
Probably.
Right.
And the other four.
No, I can't even talk much about that. I'm just so over it. And he fucking guy's got a Foot Locker commercial, for God's sakes. I mean, he made money with this fucking. I got it. If there's any credit to give, I hate to give it them. The guy made money. This.
He's
made fucking money for his family. He made money for fucking himself.
Made money off his son.
He made money.
For the Lakers.
Just think about it. He made money. He made money.
That was his goal. I don't think his goal was about, like, he talked the shit. His son's going to be the greatest player of all time. All that crap.
Who knows how much money he made in Lithuania, too.
He can lose everything he's got.
He probably made money. He probably made a deal over there and got paid millions
to come over
there.
As much as he made, he can lose everything he's got.
I don't know how he can lose. He can lose a lot.
He can lose it faster than he got.
Johnny Depp made $750 million. He's going bankrupt.
I read about that. That's insane.
Yeah. So incredible. What the fuck does that mean? I mean, who knows?
I'm just crazy. You know, if you're going to judge LaVar Ball, I think you look at it. Do you judge him from the business side, or do you judge him as an asshole for exploiting his kids to make some money? I mean,
well, his kids are older, so exploit the fuck out of them.
You take your
want.
Kids out of UCLA, you're asking for fucking trouble. You're taking them out of school to go to Lithuania, whatever the fuck they went.
Bangladesh.
You're asking for trouble. You got one son in the NBA, man. Go with it. You know, your other brother or your other
Mark,
kids
he,
are not
Mark,
NBA
does he,
level.
Does he speak properly for you? Does he speak well?
Who?
On the mic?
Who?
LaVar Ball.
Oh, my God.
Never lost.
Mark's all about, like, proper etiquette and speaking properly, including
I like Doncic. He doesn't speak great English, but he says all the right
Mark,
things.
I'm a fan of that.
Mark
will give you a couple $1 million a year if you just know how to speak well. If he's a GM, he's like, oh, if he speaks well, he's going to be good.
Tells me you're not an idiot. You're smart. You can choose your words right wisely.
Of course it does. Of course
be
it
humble.
Does.
I like humble people. Sorry. I don't like cocky fucking people. That's who I am.
I love cocky guys.
I don't
back
like
it
cocky
up.
People.
Cocky
so
guys
you,
that back it up and get to the finals
I,
nine
if,
straight
if
times.
If I'm great at what I do, I
guys.
Show it.
I love
I don't
guys.
Need to speak it. I'll show it if I'm great at what I do. That's where, and then everybody's going to know about it one day. That's how
one
I
day.
Yeah.
When you're dead, and then they'll talk about you.
No.
Maybe.
They'll talk about you, or they'll start hating on you. Under, you know.
No, they're always going to
Got to let them
good.
Know, man. You got to dunk it and then talk shit after you dunk it. You just want Duncan to like walk back and get back
Hell
on defense?
Yeah.
You want to get back on defense real quick?
No, I'll throw up a fist or something.
Oh, yeah?
A little little fist.
Hey, did you guys see my Emmy
trophy? Yay.
You guys see my Emmy trophy?
Yeah, we talked about it already, Dota.
Oh, we did?
Oh, you got an Emmy?
Sorry. Were you guys talking all this time? My Emmy's so loud over here. I just...
I can't see. I'm blinded by the fucking shine of the gold plating.
You know, kudos to them. They actually gave me the microfiber cloth to, keep it nice and shiny.
You wake up every morning and, like, just, like, breathe on it and wipe it down?
Yeah. So there you have it. Emmy Award-winning producer. I'm trying to be an Emmy Award-winning podcast producer also. Thanks for listening. Share with your friends. Subscribe and rate us. Bye.